Lecture topic, The Muslim Educator, Part C.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa bihi nasta'in wa usalli wa usallim ala khatamil anbiya'i wal mursaleen, nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa tabi'in. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salutations upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all those who have followed him, who are following him, and who will follow him until Qiyamah. Allahumma la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal 'alimul hakim. O Allah, we do not have knowledge besides that which you have granted us, for indeed you are most knowledgeable, most wise. Allahumma 'allimna ma yanfa'na wanfa'na bima 'allamtana. O Allah, grant us knowledge that is beneficial, and save us and protect us from knowledge that is of no use. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa' wa min 'aynin la tadma' wa min qalbin la yakhsha' wa min batnin la yashba' wa min du'a'in la yusma'. O Allah, we seek your protection from knowledge that is of no use, from eyes that will not cry for your sake, from a heart that will not fear you, from a stomach that will not be filled. We seek your protection from a soul that will not be content, and we seek your protection from a dua that we make to you that you do not answer. My dearest gathering, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُوا مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never transform a nation, for as long as the individuals of that nation do not transform themselves. That is the conclusion that I have drawn of this particular conference. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant its success. The only way it will be successful is if every single one of us have moved up the spiritual ladder that I spoke about in the first lecture of mine, which if it has 100 steps, and I said we fitted on step number 49, if we go back on step number 50, wallahi, we are doing something that we must thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he has accepted us to do. We must understand that as a teacher, the value of this conference will only be understood by those in the field. And I give you an example of a scholar who studied under the tutorship of a great scholar of deen. He graduated and returned. When he returned, he was not appreciated by the pupils nor the school initially. He was looked at as a threat by the other teachers, and this is what we need to save ourselves from. Do not make life difficult for the new teachers. Do not make life difficult for others. Don't have professional jealousy. It is destroying the ulama. It is destroying the teachers. It is destroying business people. It is destroying Islam. It is destroying our values and everything we have. Professional jealousy. We must protect ourselves from this as a duty. Be happy when you see someone else succeeding. Someone better than you, go to them and thank them, make dua, Allah gives them more, and ask Allah to grant you the same, if not better. This is something we really suffer. So, this young man who was a great scholar suffered, and he returned to his scholar, and he said, meaning his tutor, and he said, "Oh my tutor, you told me that what I am given is the best thing on earth. خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best from amongst you is the one who learns the Qur'an and teaches it." Remember, everything we do is derived and extracted from the Qur'an. I don't have time right now to go into it. Whether it is accounts, biology, mathematics, what have you, is from the Qur'an al-Kareem, inshallah. So good news to you, you have learned and you are teaching the Qur'an. You might not know it, but maybe you should find out how. So the tutor or the teacher looked at him and said, "Okay, what you do, take this stone and go to the butcher. Don't sell it to him, but ask him what he would offer for it. Go to the plumber, go to the carpenter, and then go to the jeweler and come back." So what had happened is, this man took a stone, quite a big stone. He passed by the first person, a butcher. And he said, "Look, I would like to sell you the stone, but I want to know what you would pay for it. He looked at it and he said, wait, I am interested in the carcasses of, you know, or the dressed meat of these particular animals. You want to sell me a stone? I don't need it. And he insisted and insisted until he offered him 50 rands. And he said, you know what? That's the most I can give you. Anyway, he said, I'll get back to you if I am going to sell it to you. He went further to the next man. He went to many people. Let's say he went to the electrician after that. He said, look, I need to sell this to you. What would you offer? He said, look, you want to dispose of it, leave it here. I won't charge you anything. That's the maximum. So when he went to the carpenter got angry. Can't you see I'm busy? Pay me for disposal if you want to dispose it here, and I will dispose of it. Give me 50 rands and then put it here. And he did not understand what his tutor wanted from him. And as he walked, there was a man who suddenly rushed the pavement. He said, excuse me, sir, would you mind stepping in? And he says, what? He's walking with a stone in his hand, and someone came to him, a very well-dressed man. Would you mind walking in? And he's looking. He says, where? He says, no, I have got a little shop. I'd like to talk to you. I'd like to have a meeting. He called him in. He introduced him to everyone in his business place. He red carpet treatment, called him in, put him into a room, closed the doors, took him into another room, closed the other doors, called his major staff, brought in a few machines, and said, you know what? Would you like tea or coffee? Can we have lunch together? And this man is thinking, what is all this about? He's confused. So he says, well, what is it? Why? He said, look, we would like to offer you for the stone you have in your hand. It is a rare, precious stone. But before we make the offer, we'd like to test it and see it. And they put it under microscopes and all the different machines, and they tested it, and it was one of the best gems to exist. He said, we can offer you 3.5 billion rands for this. He looked at it and he said, what? If you don't want that, we can go to 4 billion. He says, sorry? If that is still not acceptable, we can go to 4.5 billion. He said, wait, stop there. I'm not selling the stone. I need to get back. So the man says, no, we offer you a free box to put it into, with a lock, with 3 men who will accompany you to where you are going with an armed vehicle. And this man walked out with all these people around him, and he came back to his tutor. His tutor said, the value of a diamond is only known by those who know what diamonds are all about. Today, I tell you, every single one of you are valuable. But don't expect the cobbler and the electrician to say that to you. إِنَّمَا يَعْرِفُ ذَا الْفَضْلِ مِنَ النَّاسِ ذَوُوهُ. Definitely, those with virtue are the only ones who will recognize someone else with the same virtue. Believe me, Allah has granted me a little bit of tajweed and Quran. May Allah increase me and yourselves as well. If a person starts with a'u, before he gets to dhubillahi, I can tell you he's a qari or he doesn't know anything. Honestly, may Allah grant us success. I made 2 mistakes when I was reading to you. I know them. If you would like to know them, I said rikza, and that was slightly incorrect because I said rikka. It sounded a little bit like a qalqala, for those who know. And the other is sheen is a light letter. Instead of saying sha, I said sha. There is a big mistake there. I know it. I picked it up. But how many of you picked it up? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that to us. So the message here is, we have a conference that is so great that only those with eyes will understand the value. You cannot put an amount next to this conference and say it was worth 100,000 rands, 1 million rands. No ways. That is why I raise this example. Similarly, we must understand, so much has been said, so many people have said so much, but as we all know, implementation is what counts. You will go home, then what? I think we've got an entire paper telling us, then what? Or what then? I don't know if I've also got it the other way around. Doesn't make a big difference. So we must understand, every movement of ours as teachers is an act of worship. Wallahi, I tell you, a few moments ago, one of the able brothers and delegates here who happened to speak about one of the breakaway groups mentioned how much the amounts, and so, it was so effective. How much it is worth, what your contribution to your school. I want to tell you what your contribution to the ummah is. The Ummah is made up of a large machine. Listen to this. That machine has a cog with hundreds of thousands of teeth that are needed in order to make this cog move so the entire machine can move. You are one tooth. Without you, the machine will stop. Understand that. And I can explain that to you in another way. When there is a building, the carpenter cannot come and say, "I built it." The one who is glazing cannot say, "I built it." The one who put in the electrics, the electrician cannot say, "I built it." The one who put up the bricks cannot say, "I built it." They all collectively come together and say, "We have produced this building." The same applies to Islam. The architect is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We play our role. If someone says, "You are worth nothing," they don't know anything. But if you are a plumber and an electrician and a tiler and a builder at the same time, nurun ala nur. Thank Allah, He has granted you multiple qualities. So that is something you need to understand. Every word you teach, every expression you make in the class, you get a reward for it. And doesn't stop there. The brother who mentioned the money, he stopped at a certain point. And he stopped at a certain point, and yes, he did. But I will tell you, in Islam, man sanna sunnatan hasanatan falahu ajruha wa ajru man amila biha ila yawm al-qiyamah la yanqusu dhalika min ujurihim shay'a. Muttafaqun alayh. Hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever sets a good example, and we are all chosen to set a good example, we've already been given the platform. Others are sitting at home. They have a smaller platform as parents. We are given the platform of others' children who come to us. They are paid for us to earn free rewards. One is your salary, but one is when someone pays in order to send their children to you. In fact, I could put it another way. You are paid in order to get others' children so that you can earn another reward. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whosoever does good in this dunya, Allah will ensure that not only does he achieve goodness in the dunya, but in the akhirah as well. So, when you teach someone one thing, even a smile, whatever you have done, the reward of that will carry on. I want to give you an example. I have had, when I started the nursery school, it was actually a new nursery school which was started by concerned mothers of the community in 1979 or I think 1978. I don't want to give my age away. But what had happened is there was concern. And these mothers had no qualifications besides motherhood. Allahu Akbar. That in itself is a qualification. And I always say, husbands should kiss the stretch marks on the bellies of their wives. That is a sign of jihad. That is a sign of contribution to the ummah. They have graduated with a PhD in something that you will never ever be able to graduate in. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. So I inform you of what happened to me. She taught. And she taught me, and wallahi, as I grew old, I didn't realize at that time the value of that. May Allah grant her and the other teachers who were there. Some have passed away. May Allah grant them Jannah, and the others, may Allah grant them happiness in the dunya and the akhirah. I don't know the details of what type of happiness they want, but within the limits, may Allah grant it to them. So, she met me and she meets me. She attends a ladies program that I have every Sunday in Harare when I'm there. And she phoned me up. She said, "Do you remember me?" I said, "I know the voice and I will never forget it. And I make dua for you on a daily basis." And she began to cry. She said, "I am in the same place. In fact, I've retired. But look where Allah has taken you." I'm not saying Allah has taken me, but we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having granted us a little bit, a tip of the iceberg. Look where Allah, and I said, "Do you know what? Everything I do, you share an equal reward." And I mentioned the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If I lead taraweeh in salah, not only do I have the reward, those behind me have the reward, anyone who ever taught me have the reward. You are the mother of all the teachers, you started with it. Obviously, my mother and father are included. They are the ones who actually started. But this was the proper education that we are involved in here. So, imagine a child you teach becomes a great mufti, a great alim, a great scholar, a great doctor, a great lawyer, every single patient they treat, Allah says you won't get a percentage of it. You will get the full reward of that. Exactly what they get, you get. You will not be able to count. That is why Allah says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. That if you are to count the gifts of Allah upon you, you will never be able to. Indeed, man is definitely oppressive. And man is very, very unappreciative of what he has been given. When we say the gifts of Allah, we look at health and car and cell phone and everything, and we say gifts of Allah. That is not the only gift, nor is your health the only gift. But those things which you don't even know about. That is why Allah says you don't even know. Who has managed to count their rewards? If you are teaching for 5 minutes, what you will achieve is a reward more than a figure. More than anything, I remember mentioning that in Zimbabwe, because of the devaluation of the currency, we have millions and billions, and we went on to trillions, and now we've gone on to a new figure in the world known as zimillions, because it's special for Zimbabwe. So there is a figure beyond that which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, which each one of us will achieve. Do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are a tooth in that cog of Islam that is rotating the entire ummah. If others do not see the significance of your contribution, then do not despair, because that means their tooth is being worn out, not yours. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us success. I want to share with you on this occasion something else as well. I've actually don't normally write a lot of points, but I've put down points because there are various issues I want to mention and the time is limited. I read a verse of the Quran yesterday or the day before. Ya ayyuhal mudaththir qum fa'anzir wa rabbaka fakabbir wa thiyabaka fatahhir war rujza fahjur wa la tamnun tastakthir wa li rabbika fasbir. The opening verses after Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, this was the next revelation or the third according to the narrations in the very beginning. O you who are enveloped in garments or in a garment, and we know why, I mentioned it yesterday or the day before. A sign of the success of this meeting is that I don't even know when I said it, subhanallah. That is a sign of success, inshallah. So, O you who are enveloped in garments, Kum fa'anzir, stand up and warn. We all know if I tell you to stand up now, you might have pins and needles, there might be a problem, the roof might hit you if it's a low. That means there will be difficulties when you are standing up. He didn't say sit and give the message. And that is why for a teacher to stand up and walk around is much more effective than for someone who sits and relaxes on the chair. They don't want to get up. Yes. From the Quran, Kum fa'anzir, get up and warn. Don't sit down and warn. And when you get up, there's going to be a difficulty, there's going to be a problem. You might have those pins and needles from the community who will come and pin you, from your own members. That is good news. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given this advice. It's for me and you. Wa rabbaka fakabbir. There will be difficulties, so therefore continuously say Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. I'm just trying a little bit. In your mission, when you are a teacher, every day declare the greatness of Allah. Every day understand you must, before you start your lesson or at the beginning of the day, spend a moment or two thinking, what am I supposed to achieve? Am I an example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's example? Or am I something else? And if you happen, we all need attention. You happen to need a lot of attention, Allahu Akbar, declare the greatness of Allah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and you start with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make a dua before you start your lesson. Correct your niyyah. Stop for 1 second before you talk to your pupils. Every day stop for a second. Ya Allah, I'm doing this to please you. Yes, salary and everything is there. I'm going to come to that inshallah. But ultimately, we want to achieve the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَهِّرْ. Did I not speak of being spick and span as a teacher? Being the smartest you can be. Whenever you go to teach, you must understand to take a moment to make sure your clothes are ironed properly is an ibadah. To make sure that you create an impact on the child knows that this person is someone. You are a role model for them. Not to appear scruffy and you come with clothes that you've been wearing for the last 7 days and the students do this with their noses when they see you. It's against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَهِّرْ. Purify your clothing. Why is this mentioned when da'wah is mentioned? At the very beginning. Make sure your clothes are pure, clean, presentable. You must be an example to others. Take a look at some of the akabirin. I want to mention a name because I think he is in your, meaning he lives in the city of yours. Maulana Yunus Patel, may Allah grant him a long life. And may Allah use him to serve this deen. He is an inspiration to myself. And I look at him immaculately dressed. No creases, everything is matching, everything is proper. He is neat, mashallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala neaten him in the dunya and the akhirah. So that is an example around us. Something you must understand, it is da'wah, the way you are dressed. وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَهِرْ وَالرُّجِزَ فَهْجُرْ وَلَا تَمْنُنْ تَسْتَكْثِرْ وَلِرَبِّكَ فَصْبِرْ. I think we need, if this is a topic that needs a conference on its own. It's a fact. What is the topic? How the Quran teaches us to teach. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that stay away from evil. That is an interpretation, translation that I have chosen for this occasion. It fits. وَالرُّجْزَ فَهْجُرْ. That which is dirty, unclean, evil, bad, whether it is character, conduct, worship, polytheism, whatever it is, stay away from it. Why? You will be a bad example to the others if you yourself smoke, if in their midst. If you yourself are someone who doesn't even know what's going on, you yourself scream and shout and so on and so forth. So remember, leave all that. You are the example. وَلَا تَمْنُنْ تَسْتَكْثِرْ. Don't ever go around saying, I did, I achieved, I am this, I am that. مَنْ لَا تُبْطِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَى. Do not destroy your acts of charity by going around boasting about them. I have achieved this and I have achieved that. If you have to mention for the sake of education, you may do so with all humbleness. But you do not have to blow your own trumpet. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not give us trumpets. But it is a fact. The Quran, and I'm reading these verses for you because they are relevant. This is what we must be taking back with us. If you do not take this back, wallahi, I will come to the warning that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in Hajjatul Wada' and in his final khutbah. وَلِرَبِّكَ فَصْبِرْ. For the sake of your Lord, bear patience when it comes to the difficulties you will face when you are implementing your task in da'wah. وَلِرَبِّكَ. For the sake of your Lord, not for your salary. So many people are not content with their positions. I teach here, one person told me something bad, so I must go. Let me tell you, Allah tests you. When I was a student in Medina, one of the ustads called us. And he said, listen, you have come to Medina. Medina is not for everyone, Al-Munawwara. Allah will throw away, kick away those who are not fit to study here. إن المدينة طيبة تنفي الخبث كما ينفي الكير خبث الحديد رواه البخاري. Definitely Medina is pure, it will kick away impurities in the same way that a blacksmith blows into the ore in order to kick away impurities. He said, you will watch around you, those who are not sincere will either be expelled or Allah will put in their hearts that I don't like this place, I want to go home, and wallahi I saw it with my eyes. People complained about the food, I can't eat this. That means you are complaining about a secondary issue. My father told me in the car, the vehicle, when I was going to the airport, listen, my son, and the lesson is for us all. When you go to a university, and for us, it's actually when you go to teach somewhere, you will find 10 things right, 10 things wrong. 10 things right, 5 things wrong. Don't leave because of the 5 things that are wrong. You might go to another institution where there are 20 things wrong, 10 things right. The same applies in our marriages. We don't appreciate our husbands or wives, yet we have the perfect husbands and perfect wives. We've got to be content. I gave an example a few days ago in Binoni, and I said, you know, our problem, I have a cell phone, now he wants it, you want it, the latest every time. Unfortunate. It was mentioned by Professor Ali a few minutes ago in different wording. And I have a car, every year I need to change it. Why? You're not content. Do you know what will happen to that? It is a cancer. It will get to everything until it goes to your wife and your husband. I have a husband, he's 1960 model. I need 2005. It's a fact of life because you started with your BMW and this is where it's gone. It is a sickness. Allah say, to be content with what you have is everything. We heard a few moments ago, those who are rich, Those who are rich do not really have contentment, but those who are poor and you are happy with what you have. And wallahi, I can tell you something, my own example. Any problem in your life depends on the size you would like to make it. Or should I say, the size of the problem depends on your heart and your mind. I mentioned that yesterday, and wallahi, it's a fact. Go home. If you think you have a marital problem, it's a joke. You don't. Your mind and heart thinks you have a problem, but if you want not to have a problem, you can not have it. Believe me, there are very few problems which are definitely there. But the size of it is normally blown up by us. We are seekers of sympathy for everything, even in teaching. So when you go to teach somewhere, wali rabbika fasbir, bear patience. Do not just say, oh, that school is better, this school is better. Be happy with the little you have here. It is great in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants you to bear patience. Sometimes, you know what I say? When Allah wants to kick people out of a masjid, He will make them build a jamaat khana 2 meters away from the masjid, and they won't come to the masjid. They think we are doing a good job because those people are like this and like that. Little do they know that Allah has booted them out of the masjid. Allah says He will do it. When Allah does not want to use your money in the right cause, you have been giving money to a madrasa or to AMS or to what have you. If your money is not pure enough to be there, Allah will convince you that these guys are thugs. And you might go around spreading it, not realizing that your money is so dirty, Allah cannot spend it. It cannot be used for such a pure cause where the ulama and those who are serving the ummah are going to take part. Subhanallah. So understand, not every time is your idea, and you are the greatest. Maybe Allah is booting you out of something you are not fit for. So don't run away from a school situation. Stay there. Maybe Allah wants you to change it slowly but surely. Similarly, we have another point. With Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's example, I'm shifting from those verses to something else. It is reported, whoever saw him for the first time respected him, and whoever knew him loved him. So when you knew him, when you see him for the first time, you respect him, and there is an element of respect. Not to say the respect goes away, but when you start, مَنْ خَالَطَهُ مَعْرِفَةً أَحَبَّهُ لَا يَحْسَبُ جَلِيسُهُ أَنَّ أَحَدًا أَكْرَمَ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ. When he used to sit with people, everyone used to say, this person loves me the most. Rasulullah said, I am the most beloved to him. Whether it was Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali radiallahu anhum jami'an, they all thought they were the closest to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because he treated them fairly and equally. Your students must be the same. Sometimes we know someone and they come to us, rich man with a big Mercedes, look after my son. And suddenly everything rotates around the son. Where? In the classroom. Those who are poor, what happens to them? Oh, I had a problem with that guy's father. Wallah, it happened to me. My own example, with my own kids. Someone has a little problem with what you said one day in the masjid. Suddenly, the son gets told at school. Why? That is not professional. You must be the best. I have a gripe with one or two people. When I taught their children in madrasa, and I taught for 1.5 years voluntary at a certain madrasa in Harare, the children of those people, I went out of my way to give them chocolates and sweets. And you know what happened? The family came close to us. Subhanallah. The problem was solved. Because we need to understand, when someone gives you a clap, Islam does not say give them back a clap immediately. Christianity says give them the other cheek to give you another one. I've read it in the Bible myself. I teach comparative studies. So the Quran doesn't say that. The Quran says you have the right of revenge, but if you forgive, it's better for you. And if you think carefully, what is better, to seek revenge or to forgive? So Islam says when someone claps you, don't clap them back, because they might have more power, like, and they might want to literally destroy you, and then they will say, no, well, he retaliated. But what you do is, he's given you a smack, you think, you tell him, but why did you do this? Can we sit down and discuss it? He looked like a fool. Because now that is the professional approach, what Islam requires, what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. So there are a few of these sunnahs that I've raised today. Remember, let us try and implement them. Try and be fair to everyone in the classroom. And try and be just, because that is what will spread goodness. Similarly, when it comes to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anyone who had hope in him, he never ever turned away from them. Anyone who came to him for anything, he never turned away from them. And anyone who asked him forgiveness for something, he never said no. Do you ever know where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, someone came to say, I'm sorry for what I've done, and he says no? Is there any hadith like that? Not even one that I've come across. So he forgave everyone. So these are some of the ahadith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us acceptance, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really grant us success in the dunya and the akhirah. I want to end with a very important note. Wallahi, there are many notes that we, you know, we could still speak on, but time is not on our side, and it's only... Sorry. I was saying that we need to understand that the Arabic language, according to me, is the core of any Islamic school. I'm not saying you need to be professionals, but it is the Arabic language that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed this deen in. And therefore we must understand, when there was that resolution which actually stated that we must make it compulsory, some people may have felt, no, that's a bit far-fetched. No, don't let shaitan come to you. Don't. Contribute to the positive, towards the positive upliftment of this ummah. Come out and say, yes, I agree totally, and we will fight for it. Go back and speak to the people. Let me read a few verses to explain to you why. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Do they not try to understand the Quran? Or are there locks on their hearts? What this means is those who don't want to understand the Quran, Allah has placed locks on their hearts, according to a certain tafsir. So if you are refusing to even put in the Arabic language or to give it any importance, how are we going to understand the Quran? I read the Quran, alhamdulillah, Allah has granted me the understanding of a little bit of the Arabic language. I don't feel like stopping when I read. That's a fact. Alhamdulillah. I don't. It's difficult for someone to get me off the musalla from Isha Salah. My father needs to remind me every day, today you were 11 minutes, stick to 9 minutes. Subhanallah. It's a fact. In fact, I go on so much that there is someone, may Allah grant him a reward, I think I need to try and locate who he is and give him a hadiah. He has an alarm clock at 8:10, it goes off, subhanAllah, to say your salah should be over by now. Wallahi, those are the people of the community. وَلِرَبِّكَ فَصْبِرْ. May Allah grant us the sabr. But it's good, we must love that, because that is what will check us. We need to slow down, we need to relax. But when do we get the taste of the Quran? Only if you know the Arabic language. Only if you know the Arabic language. Imagine, people are so happy to hear the Quran recited. What if they could understand it? An-Najashi heard few verses, and I will read them for you for barakah purposes. He cried and he accepted Islam immediately. Kaf ha ya ayn sad. ذكر رحمة ربك عبده زكريا إذ نادى ربه نداء خفيا قال رب إني وهن العظم مني واشتعل الرأس شيبا ولم أكن بدعائك رب شقيا. And he cried. What Arabic did he understand? Let's think. Were the people not mainly illiterate at the time? Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was the arch enemy of Islam at the time. Taha ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'an litashqa illa tadhkiratan liman yakhsha. He already started crying. تنزيلا ممن خلق الأرض والسماوات العلا الرحمن على العرش استوى. The decision in his heart was made. إني أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Yet he could not read or write. Today we can read and write, but we refuse ourselves that blessing of understanding the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding of the Quran. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand and comprehend that it starts off with the Arabic language. I have come across a book in Saudi Arabia. Unfortunately, I didn't buy it, and I should have. It has in English the words of the Quran, all of them. I think there are a few thousand words that need translation. And they've translated all of that, and they say this is all you need in order to understand literally the Quran. That's all. That's all. And it's there, it's available. It's unfortunate that I can't share the name with you, because at the time I was in a rush. I just had seen it, but it caught the eye, and I quickly picked it up, opened it and closed it and carried on. And We must understand this. It is a very, very valid and important point. So let us ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the understanding. Remember one thing. Now I want to give you the warning that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given in Hajjatul Wada'. Look, we have all heard what was said. We have all heard the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many words of advice were mentioned in this seminar? Do you know? Count them. How many words did I say in my lecture? 1 million? Maybe more? Altogether. How many did all of you share? 1 million? 1 billion? We might get to that zimillion I was talking about. It's a fact. But has it had an impact on us? Are we going to effect change in our lives? Have we moved up that ladder or not? That's the question. If we haven't, the question I want to pose, how many more words do you want before you will change? Ask yourself. Write it down. I need another 1,000 words. How many more incidences do you need related to you before you will effect change in your life positively? Write down. Ya Allah, I need another 10 incidences. You better watch out because you might be the 9th incident and that's where your demise was. It's a fact. So we need to understand enough has been directed to us. Where did these words come from? That's another question. Directly to you as an amana from Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal to your ears, name and surname. Allah chose you to be seated here with your name and surname the day you were born. You are sitting here, you heard the words of Allah. Not only here, wherever you are, whatever lecture you heard, cassette you heard, CD you heard, book you read, any form of information, advice you got from Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is directly to your ears, directed without a mistake. It was meant to get to you. All Allah wants to see is how long will it take you to change. So don't disappoint Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Hajjatul Wada', Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in one of the narrations, Inni jalisul lakum ala al-hawd, wala tukhzuni, I will be sitting for you at that pond, Hawdul Kawthar. Do not disgrace me. How is the disgrace? Aqulu ya Rabbi minni wa min ummati, fayaqulu la ama sha'arta ma fa'alu ba'dak, wallahi ma barahu yarji'una ala aqabihim. I will say, I will be recognizing the people of my ummah, and I will say, Ya Allah, this is from me and from my ummah. Let him come. I want to intercede on his behalf. Let him drink from this hawd. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, no, you don't know what this person has done after you left. That is a disgrace for who? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wants to call you, but there is a barrier between you and him, which was created by your deviation from his path. So don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. You have the platform, you have everything. Change. I read the verses, and Allah, yesterday, or it was the day before, once again, I actually don't even know when. And I said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not destroy a nation who is trying to rectify and transform. It's a verse, I read it. Allah subhanahu wa ma kana rabbuka liyuhlikal qura bi dhulmin wa ahluha muslihun. Allah will not destroy cities when their people are doing good, trying to do good, trying to transform. Allah knows not all of us are anbiya. We are not perfect. In fact, someone sent me an SMS a while ago saying, excellence does not need perfection in order to be achieved. And I agree with that. So this is something we must understand, that we are trying, but we need to try now. The question I want to ask you, have we here not delivered the goods? Have you heard the message? Have you heard the message? Oh Allah, bear witness that they have heard the message. That is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Now do not come on the day of Qiyamah and say, we were in the presence of such and such a person and he did not deliver the message. Never. So it's up to you to go back home and to change in such a manner that when you go on the day of Qiyamah and when we meet, we are not running away from one another, like is one of the tafsirs of a certain verse which was mentioned, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. On that day, everyone will be running away from one another. Why? Because they did not, according to one tafsir, fulfill their duties towards that person. Now they want to be caught to say, hey, you, why didn't you fulfill this and that? Subhanallah. I went to someone's workplace yesterday for a few minutes. In the 3 minutes, I gathered all the staff and I said, all I want you to do is to read about Islam. I'm not here to convert you, but I want you to read about Islam. And I want you to understand it. And I went away and they told me, why did you do that? And I said, they can't come on the day of Qiyamah to say this man passed by our workplace and he did not invite us to Islam. Alhamdulillah. And every house I go to, I invite the maids and those who work for that home, even if I go there for 5 minutes. And I tell them, listen, I want you to read about my religion. Please enter it. That's it. I don't want to go further. Conversion is not my business. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبَتَ وَلَكِنِ اللَّهُ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Sorry, that is warsh. Allah guides whomsoever He wishes. Not you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all and use us to guide others. Don't lose hope. Wallahi, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to be true examples of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I have spoken for longer than I was supposed to, but I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely to accept every word that was said, to grant me a status higher and all of us a status higher, if not one, then plenty at one time. Some of us got long legs, so we can actually go from 49 straight to 55, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that to us. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.